Let's have a dinner party for six. Old style, new style. With food that seems like what folks call homey, without frills. But tastes far better. Actually quite deluxe in a nice neighborly American way. A gourmet meal that transforms the familiar into a new experience.
You mean my special steak dinner?
I certainly do. That amazing charcoal steak broiled on top of the stove in a heavy iron pan. And Ruth Patterson's North Carolina macaroni and cheese. And cheese, and still more cheese. And that fresh vegetable platter that looks like an artist's palette with its vigorous outdoor color. Your mixed salad. So simple, apparently, but actually a combination of various shades of green and contrasting textures. And of course, your French dressing that everybody wants. But let's start at the beginning. Hors d'oeuvre, lots of them.
Yes, lots of them. Actually, we often use them as a first course, served in the living room on an uncrowded coffee table. That saves having to clear off the dishes from a first course at table, and it helps keep the hostess cool. And a cool hostess is a better hostess, always.
Okay, cool hostess. Give with your cool hors d'oeuvre.
But there should be at least one hot appetizer, like Brussels sprouts wrapped in sizzling bacon.
But cold.
All right, don't be impatient.
Not impatient, just hungry. I'd like some of those marinated artichoke hearts right this minute, made of canned artichoke hearts packed in brine, drained, and then marinated for several hours in oil, lemon juice, and a pinch of herbs, and salt and pepper. Now there is a man-sized bite.
And very easy, really. You serve them chilled on food picks. Canned mushroom caps can be marinated also. And so can tiny canned shrimp in the same oil and lemon juice dressing. All of these can be prepared in the morning. That's always a help for the hostess on her own.
Great. But I like your red caviar combination most.
You mean a bowl of red caviar, another bowl of finely chopped green onions, and another of commercial sour cream, and a basket with thinly sliced salty rye bread?
Let me give the know-how. Take a slice of that salty rye, then a spoonful of that tangy caviar, sprinkle some of the green onion over it, and a top with a dollop of smooth, cool sour cream. Do it once, do it twice, do it over and over again.
Not too many times, please. We have a hot hors d'oeuvre, too, remember? Frozen Brussels sprouts, firm and not too large, thawed, strips of bacon cut in half, roll one half strip of bacon around each sprout and secure with food pick. Then bake in hot oven for 40 minutes. Serve piping.
They are good. And I like that raw relish tray. It seems to sparkle with zest. Cucumber sticks, spears of endive, carrot sticks, celery.
And radish roses, and ripe olives, and green ones, too. That monkey wood tray with the sections that we bought in Hawaii is perfect to serve them in. Lovely wood tones of the dish with the bright, fresh colors of the garden.
And a blessing for Weight Watchers, too. Almost no calories. Calorie-conscious guests will bless you, and they want to save their calories for the steak and macaroni. So now let's move on to the dining room. We've had our first course, unhurried, beautiful to look at, tempting, and interesting. And while the guests were enjoying themselves, the hostess on her own slipped quickly to the kitchen and took a look at the macaroni and cheese casserole and put the steak on. Oh, that magic steak. I can broil a steak outdoors over charcoal, but your steak, cooked in an iron pan on top of the stove, sure it's magic. No one believes it. I mean till they taste it. A charcoal broiled steak in a little old pan. Go on and tell them.
Well, your butcher is almost as important in this as the steak.
Are you asking the butcher to dinner?
No, but I'm asking him to trim every last snitch of fat off the meat. For six guests, buy a piece of boneless top sirloin or top round, at least 1.5 inches thick, weighing around 4.5 pounds. Ask him to use his sharpest knife and painstakingly strip every bit of fat off the steak. When you get it home, go over it again. No fat. No fat. I can't repeat that warning too many times. And also, if you refrigerate your steak, take it out at least 1/2 an hour before cooking. Chilled meat doesn't broil well.
Now let's get to the cooking. I can't stand hungry suspense.
Patience is good seasoning for a leisurely dinner, remember? The pan, that comes next. A good, old-fashioned, country-style, heavy iron frying pan.
You sound like the farmer's wife.
Put the pan over high heat on top of the stove to get thoroughly hot. Sprinkle it with garlic or onion salt. The salt will slowly turn charcoal black.
How about regular salt?
No, it won't char like garlic or onion salt. While the pan is getting hot, season the steak with garlic or onion salt and freshly ground black pepper. Do this as long before cooking as possible. The steak gets better seasoned this way.
Okay, now we're ready for the big moment. Let's go.
Plunk that thick, fat-trimmed, seasoned steak onto the searing pan. Cook for 10 minutes on one side, then turn and cook on other side until it is right for your guests. Very rare, medium, or even well done if some of them like it that way.
Oh, no, not well done, please.
Remember, you're the host. A good host caters to each guest even though he doesn't like his taste.
Even so, not well done, please. Give him pot roast instead.
Never interrupt the cook. With a sharp knife, cut into the center of the steak to test for doneness. Next, cut it across the grain into thin slices. Arrange those succulent, charcoal-tasting slices on a hot, oven-proof platter. And on the hot platter, have a sauce of melted butter and a few drops of Worcestershire sauce. Rush to the table and the fun begins.
Let's add a little warning. In a well-ventilated, smoke-free room, remember, before you start pan broiling, make certain your kitchen is perfectly ventilated, either with a mechanical ventilator or strong cross currents. The steak will smoke like any other meat cooked over charcoal. So be forewarned. Have a perfect ventilation system in your kitchen. No guests like to sing "Smoke Gets in Your Eyes" while eating. Now on with the dinner. Bring on that casserole of macaroni.
Well, that's really a lordly dish. Use a 2.5-quart casserole for 1 pound of macaroni. And remember, it's been in the oven for about half an hour while the guests were still making merry with the tidbits. Use Italian-type macaroni called ziti, Z-I-T-I, number 2. Pieces about 2 inches long and 1/4 inch thick. Cook it in salted boiling water until just undercooked, al dente, as they say. Drain it. Don't rinse it with water, but put a piece of butter in the center and shake so that the butter melts and coats all the pieces to prevent sticking. Turn it into a large mixing bowl and have milk and 2 eggs and a cup of cream, lots of freshly grated Parmesan cheese. Use the canned grated if you haven't time to grate the fresh. Lots of grated American cheese and a package of thin slices of cheddar.
Okay, now do your stuff.
Beat the eggs, add about 1/2 cup of milk or 1/2 cup of milk. Pour over the macaroni in bowl. Mix all well. Then place a layer of the macaroni in greased casserole. Sprinkle prodigally with the Parmesan and American cheese and slices of the cheddar torn into fairly large pieces. Now another layer of macaroni. Then more of the same cheese, then more macaroni.
Begins to sound like Dreamland's cheesy mountain.
It is a dream dish. Over the top and final layer of macaroni, place wide slices of the cheddar, like a golden awning over all. Finally, sprinkle seasoned breadcrumbs, you can buy them all ready to use, over the top slices of cheese. The casserole must be wet, the cheese abundant.
When it is baked for 1/2 hour at least, those crumbs on top turn brown and the dish is moist and creamy. It's time now for the garden tour. Those beautiful fresh vegetables on a round glazed plate, a brown plate if you have one, gives the snow-white cauliflower, the golden carrots, and the deep green beans a handsome background.
And keep the vegetables a little on the undercooked side. Serve the long beans whole, not sliced. Steam or boil all 3 vegetables in very little water. Drain them at once. Place the large head of snowy cauliflower in the center. Arrange carrots with freshly chopped dill or parsley and the green beans around it. Pour a little melted butter and lemon juice over them just as you swing the dish onto the table.
Don't forget to mention the large flat serving spoon. Oh, I beg your pardon for butting in.
No need to. In a servantless house, both husband and wife should work together when giving a dinner party. Together, but with hushed efficiency.
How about a little loving kindness, too?
Why not? Nothing gives a party a better atmosphere. Good bread helps, too.
Oh, I agree. Often a dinner is ruined by poor coffee and dull bread. There are so many interesting breads in the market. Rolls, either crisp or soft, seeded or plain, long ones and short ones, and of course those loaves of French or Italian bread that get even crisper when heated. And if you're lucky, those unsurpassed genuine French rolls, the kind you get in France. Vive la France, but settle for your local bake shop.
You're becoming poetical.
What's wrong with that? Isn't a perfect dinner a poem in human values?
Particularly, I'd say, if the salad is good. Tender Boston lettuce, firm romaine leaves, a little slightly bitter escarole, and perhaps a few spears of endive or limestone lettuce. Then my salad dressing. Very simple, really. Oil, part olive oil and part vegetable oil, lemon juice or wine vinegar, salt, freshly ground black pepper, a dash of cayenne, maybe a drop of Worcestershire, and either a clove of garlic or garlic salt for those who like it. First, you put the spices in a cup. Add lemon juice or vinegar, and then add oil. Use about 3 parts of oil to 1 part lemon juice or vinegar. Shake well in a bottle and shake again just before pouring over the scrupulously cleaned and chilled greens. After a heavy meal, and ours is heavy in a happy way, such a salad is as refreshing as a May morning.
Now who's getting poetical?
Both of us, I guess. And why not? Thinking of the raspberries over lemon sherbet we'll have for dessert. It's a perfect dessert for this kind of dinner. Perfect for the hostess, too. No last-minute running around. You can get excellent fruit sherbets in the supermarkets these days, and fine frozen raspberries.
Lovely picture. A gleaming crystal sherbet glass, a mound of translucent lemon or perhaps pineapple sherbet, fragrant ruby berries sliding down the mountain. Wait till you taste it and see.
I think that thin, leaf-shaped, chocolate-coated cookies go well with the sherbet and fruit. French bakeries always have them. So do many baked good counters.
Coffee, coffee, coffee.
Don't rush me. Yes, very strong, clear coffee. Use at least half as much again as you measured out to make your breakfast coffee. Large cups or small cups, better have both ready so that each guest can have the kind he prefers. The only rule is, as you like it.
Of course, many of our friends may like wine with their dinner. It's a growing custom in the United States, and a very pleasant one. With the dinner we are describing, a good French red Bordeaux or a French Burgundy would go right well through the meal. Or a domestic red wine, but a carefully chosen one. Or a rosé, domestic or imported, chilled but not iced. Just a word of caution. All rosé wines are not equally good. That is a popular misconception. So experiment with the rosés, in fact with all your wines, selecting them with the same care you select your meats and vegetables. Often you will find your local wine and liquor dealer can give you good practical advice on what wines to serve with different dinners. But now it's time for coffee. Where will you serve it? In the living room? That's always pleasant.
Well, I have found that at a party when the host and hostess do all the work, coffee served at the dinner table is more practical. Means one less operation. And what's wrong with lingering around the table a little longer? Well-fed, congenial friends usually enjoy it.
Well, there's our dinner. Now push back from the table, wander into the living room, and relax in contentment.
Aren't the guests supposed to talk?
Don't worry about that. They will discuss your steak for at least 20 minutes and the macaroni for 10 more. Then they will confess bewilderment, but flattering bewilderment, over the lilting ease with which you manage this dinner.
Should I blush?
Nonsense. Just say thank you and tell them the secret. A desire to give friends a carefree, amiable, few, well-fed hours together with carefully selected food, absence of confusion, and the fun of having a good time at your own dinner party. Please come again.